Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, working on Ty Schalter again. Join us 538 and 3 and Out podcast on the NFL. So as we're getting closer and closer to that point where you can't really, like, you can't call people out yet if you're, like, if you got four wins and whatnot. Because, you know, you can before you know it, a couple of wins here and a couple of losses, it always tends to come around. We kind of know this in our experience with this league, but God, yesterday there were really meaningful outcomes, real meaningful outcomes, and not just emotionally, like Jeff Saturday winning, in his coaching debut against the Raiders, but that victory by Minnesota, it's still hitting me now. Like, it just still hits me how important that was for a team that, for most of us, we kind of were saying to Minnesota, yeah, but what have you really done? Well, what did they really do? They were 7-1 going into that game, right? And they were doing it under a first-year head coach. And they were looking a lot different than other Minnesota Vikings teams. But again, we tend to do this with teams that sort of disappoint us. And then all of a sudden they pull off this win, a really big win for them, a big win for them. It's not a divisional chase or a conference chase, but you go beat Buffalo in Buffalo, regardless of available wins or not, that's a big deal. Ty Schalter joins us 538 and 3 and Out podcast on Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Hi, Ty. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. What was your takeaway from Buffalo's game? What was your takeaway from the Vikings going there and winning that one?
Yeah, obviously, we've been waiting all season for the Vikings to play, you know, an elite team, a tough opponent, and look like they belong there. Justin Jefferson, unbelievable performance. You know, he leads the league in catches where he had less than 50% expected chance of completion, and he came through again and again. Kirk Cousins made plays. You know, this is a team that was pushed to the limit, obviously caught a break there at the end with the fumble. But Josh Allen, again, how 100% is he? We don't know. But this is starting to be a weird trend where there are some big games that are making the difference between Buffalo being an elite team and Buffalo racking up a lot of wins and disappointing in clutch spots. So I think it's a big statement win for Minnesota that they belong up there with at least the Eagles and the NFC, and then they're not just catching breaks against bad teams.
In the end, I mean, the Bills are built well, but how careful should they be? It's two in a row now. This league doesn't – Miami doesn't seem to be going away. There's push in your own division. Baltimore keeps winning. There's a, like, Kansas City keeps winning. How careful should Buffalo be right now?
Yeah, there's no room for error in the AFC. It's a stacked conference. And again, if nothing else, it's these wild cards, right? You know, you lost that tiebreaker to Miami, lost that tiebreaker to New York. I think they're going to continue to win more games than either of those two. It shouldn't have to come down to tiebreakers. Shouldn't have to come down to the divisional games at the end of the year. Their roster's so stacked. They've been playing so well in these games that they haven't lost. But you got to be able to close these out. You got to be able to take advantage when you have the opportunity to win. And even if they, you know, run the table from here and they're the number one seed and everything breaks their way, you're still going to have to face good teams and beat them when they play well.
Green Bay Packers win in overtime with the Cowboys and ends a five-game losing skid. Christian Watson with 3 touchdowns. Is that the thing? Is that the piece? Or is this a still struggling team that found a way to do it? Because sometimes teams just find a way to do it, but there's still some issues there.
Yeah, this is certainly a circle of the wagon performance, right? You know, you lose to Detroit, and Aaron Rodgers in that game left a lot of big plays on the table. There are a lot of little mistakes, little things that didn't go their way against Detroit that they had to fix. And they went and got this game they had to get that the Cowboys did not need to get. But this is still a team with a lot of problems. They still are not completing so many passes downfield. They still don't have receivers that you are scared of going downfield. They're not running the ball consistently well. And I think the loss of Rashawn Gary is going to have implications down the road because they need that pass rush to shorten the field for their secondary. So I still think this is a Green Bay Packers team with a lot of issues, and they certainly are not catching the Vikings at this point.
It's easy to talk about the teams that are doing well and struggling a little bit, or should be doing well and struggling. But I want to ask you about the Denver Broncos. Why can't they score? Somebody pointed out to me that if they had just gotten 18 points a game, they'd be 8-1 right now. Just 18 points, they'd be 8-1. Why can't they score?
Nathaniel Hackett is the shortest possible answer I can give you.
I think you're right.
You know, we can expound on that, but this is an offense that should be designed around what Russ can do. And the question is, how much can Russ do, right? How much was he being propped up in Seattle? he had Tyler Lockett, who's like maybe the best receiver in terms of running under a ball and going and getting it. Same thing, DK Metcalf. You know, do you have receivers? I like Jerry Jeudy. Obviously, he goes out with the injury. You know, Cortland Sutton, he's a good piece, but neither of those guys are ones that can go run out under a deep ball. And Russell Wilson is just not throwing like he used to, and he's certainly not moving like he used to. And I think that's the biggest problem. I also, when that trade first got reported, I was like, oh man, I really like Russell Wilson with Noah Fant. And then the report came back, oh, and Noah Fant went too. And I go, you look at the guys, he needs that short, big strike zone guy as that hot read, as that option. He needs somebody who can win that one-on-one in a contested situation quick, and he needs guys who can run under balls deep that he can just launch up and throw. Because if he can't get himself open with his feet, and if he can't gain yards with his feet, he's not beating people with just his arm, even at his peak, and he's certainly nowhere near his peak right now.
All right, the Dolphins. Could you make the case that the Dolphins are the best team in the AFC with what they are not messing around? They go out and get Bradley Chubb. They know who they have offensively. Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa is not losing football games. Maybe we love Kansas City a lot, and we should, but the Dolphins are not playing here. I mean, they are not messing around.
No, this is a serious, serious team. They know what they've got. They've built the right way. This is the antithesis of Denver, right? They went, what does Tua Tagovailoa do well? He throws it accurate short. What does a guy like Tyreek Hill need? He's a yak guy. He needs that ball placed so he can catch the ball, not break stride, and use that speed, just turn it upfield and go. Get Jalen Waddle in there. Gesicki, they've worked into the offense again. So it's like, this is a team that knows how to throw the ball and score. But you're right, they went all in, got Chubb, and have added depth to that defense, which is huge. And then they're not messing around. They're going for the top guns in the AFC. And I love Mike McDaniel. I love what he's doing with that team. They believe in themselves, and I think other people should too. At the beginning of the year, I called them the team of maybe adequacy, maybe not destiny. I was a little short on destiny. I'm like, I really like what the Dolphins are doing. I didn't think they'd be able to stand at the best in the AFC, but maybe destiny is the team that they are.
Should the Bears fans say, all right, we ain't winning, but man, this quarterback is a lot more fun to watch than we've had in decades around here?
Oh, man, I was a big Justin Fields believer coming out of that draft. I saw flashes all last year. I'm like, man, he puts those plays together. Reminds me a little of Colin Kaepernick, where, you know, he get the ball, make a guy miss, shed a tackle, move in the pocket, keep the play alive, and then do like a cross-body throw and put it on somebody. I'm like, man, there are so few quarterbacks that have all those tools and can show them all at once. They can build around him. They've got something. And then they built almost opposite of around him. No weapons. So the run blocking offensive line, but now you're starting to see him come into his own. He's so dangerous. And you're absolutely right. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, you have to love this because you know you've got the quarterback problem solved. You know you've got a game-changing guy. You know you got a clutch guy. He throws a pick six. Basically, the next play takes it to the house himself. You know, like to come back and bounce back like that, that shows the tenacity. And then at the end of the game, you take that L, you bump your draft pick higher up the board, and you move on for next year. And I think we're going to see this a lot with the Bears down the rest of this schedule. They're going to prove over and over again they're a young team on the rise. Justin Fields is a quarterback who is going to be a lot of fun to watch for a long time to come. But they're not there yet, and they're not trying to be there yet.
I never want to take away from a record, but how are the Giants at 7-2? How do we look, or should we look at this football team?
I don't know, man. I don't know. The NFL is a funny, funny league, and sometimes small things can make the difference. And sometimes, you know, you wait for that regression to the mean. You wait for this team where you look at all the advanced metrics. You look at their overall team strength. They should not have the record that they have, but they have it. And we're deep enough in the season now that it doesn't matter how many wins they should or shouldn't have, how much they should or shouldn't have outscored people by, because they have those wins banked. They only need 3-4 more to make sure they're in the postseason. And as they've already shown, they can play with anybody on any given Sunday. Brian Daboll has to be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. He's gone from Buffalo, and he's done exactly what we thought he might do, but he's done it about a year or two faster than we thought he possibly could have. Daniel Jones continues to make one or two plays a game where you go, maybe Danny Dimes really is Danny Dimes. I don't know. I still think, again, this team has flaws. There's no depth. It's very limited in what they can do, but the things they can do, they're doing well, and they're executing.
Tampa Bay, is this the game? Is that the game that sort of sparks them up and go, look, let's get ourselves out of this muck that is in our own division. We shouldn't be swimming around with Carolina and Atlanta and New Orleans. We need to separate ourselves. Was that the game that sort of could spark them into that run?
Yeah, you know, you hope so, and you hope offensive line can continue to gel, because I think that's part of it, as being able, you got to be able to run the ball at least a little, you know, and you got to be able to have, I think they need to continue to work more play action into the offense. You go to 538.com and look this up. Tom Brady is every bit as effective on play action as he's ever been, even as he's been ineffective in some of the other throws, some of the other routes, some of the other situations. He's starting to get a little of the swag back, starting to get a little of his arm back, starting to make some of the passes and throws that we expect from him. They need to continue to build on that momentum, need to believe in themselves and finish up front, finish those blocks, give him more time and give more running lanes to guys. And, you know, Leonard Fournette, I don't know if it's physical. I don't know if he's lost a step, but you've got to find a solution. There are running backs out there. You have to be able to get the ball on the ground more and continue to get more balance in that offense.
Ty Shalter again, 538, 3 and Out podcast. Great stuff, my friend. Hope we get you on again soon. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, anytime.
Good times, good times. All right, we come back. Thoughts, final thoughts on the NFL as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call on Sportsmap Radio.